to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show here today. And we have got all of our systems are running properly. The webcam is on. The chat room is open. And we are ready to rock and roll here. Our phone number is 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. Matt is in the control room twiddling the dials and answering the phone. So when you call in, say hello to Matt because he's working really hard to keep us out of trouble there. Turning back to the news, obviously the economy continues to dominate everything. We're only a few hours away from Barack Obama's planned speech to the joint session of Congress and live broadcast as well. The economy will dominate that. There are high expectations that Obama is going to come up with a new wonderful economic policy that will save the nation. And as a result, possibly in anticipation, the Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 236 points today, more than erasing yesterday's drop. It's still in the low 7,000s. But every time it looks like Barack Obama is going to talk about more bailouts and more whatever, the Dow goes up in anticipation of that unending stream of taxpayer money flowing from your pocket into their vaults. And this seems to be what's in the offing. Now, getting on to some of the indicators that things are still not all that well out there in economic land, Georgia, the state of Georgia, our Georgia, not the Russian Georgia, our Georgia, north of Florida, has furloughed 25,000 state workers at various agencies. They've basically just very quietly been putting them on furlough for the last 6 months, trying to control costs as their tax base continues to plummet. Because don't forget, when property values decline, property tax revenues decline with them. And as people stop buying things, sales tax revenues decline. As people move from high-paying to low-paying job, income tax revenues decline. It's this huge interlinked mess. And it's one of the reasons why really interconnecting everything to such a high degree really was kind of a bad idea, because when one part of the economy goes down, it drags everything else with it. You know, it's like wrapping everything in your entire house with this big ball of twine, and then you pull on one and everything moves with it. And it's another example where sometimes having nice little compartmentalized boxes called states, where the economies are basically contained in those little boxes. If one state gets in trouble, it doesn't drag the rest of them down here. Of course, right now, we're all being dragged down by that huge derivatives bill, which nobody wants to talk about in Wall Street. They still want to put the blame on the subprime mortgage borrowers. Oh, it's those bad old homeowners there. And, they're all the villains, and we're going to give help to those responsible home buyers, which basically means the people who don't really need the money are going to get the help, is really what that statement means. Meanwhile, there are a couple of 100 million people out here in the United States who rent. And they are also feeling the economic pinch, and nobody's talking about helping them. Nobody's talking about doing anything to make their lives a little bit easier. And I'll tell you one more thing that nobody is talking about at all. We're talking about economic reform and bailouts and all this stuff. Have you noticed that neither the Republicans or the Democrats are talking about an increase in the minimum wage? I mean, the U.S. government has dumped $30,000 in debt on all of us over the last 6 months with all these bailouts to these, Wall Street giants. And they're unconcerned about how we're all going to pay this all back. We've lost our high-paying manufacturing jobs to other countries, and the economy is staggering because of it. The one thing that we need to do is get money back in the hands of ordinary working-class Americans so they can pay their mortgage, pay their credit cards, buy things at the store, and then the economy would restart again. But they're doing nothing to bring back those high-paying jobs from other countries by reversing the tax incentives, and they're not talking about an increase in the minimum wage so that people at the bottom of our economic pyramid can start earning more money and getting their bills paid down. I don't know. It makes common sense to me. I don't know why they're not thinking about it. What they're thinking about is ways to squeeze that last dollar out of the American people. Everything they're doing is basically grab all the money they can, shove it in their pockets, stick the American people with the bill, and then skedaddle when it all falls apart, which is where I think we're definitely going. Now, One of the bits of information that came through the news today, home prices have plunged another 18.5%. This is a new low. And here is the problem, because Barack Obama's plan to force lenders to renegotiate the mortgages based on the current value of the house, it sounds good. And yes, it's going to make for somewhat lower payments for these people who are struggling to deal with their mortgages right now. But the problem is, if the housing prices continue to decline, then more homeowners are going to get caught in negative equity situations. They're going to walk away from their mortgages rather than spend their life paying off a mortgage that where they owe more than the house they're sitting in is actually worth. And we still don't get that equity gap, which is what people were using to borrow to support a consumptive lifestyle, even as our manufacturing declined. So Barack Obama's plan may sound good at first blush, and certainly the corporate media is saying, oh, yes, these are just exactly what we need to do. But it's not going to work in the long run, because home prices are still declining, because our salaries and wages are declining. We can't buy the houses at the current price they are right now. And if home prices are pushed up again to artificially create this new equity for people to borrow against so they can get that big flat panel TV screen, then more and more Americans are going to be left out. They're not going to be able to buy the houses. The only way to fix this economy is that money has to be put into the hands of the working class Americans, either by bringing manufacturing back to this country, which we've been kissing off for the last 30 years and especially for the last 8, or we need to raise the minimum wage so that Americans can earn the kind of money it takes to live here and to make a mortgage payment and to keep their credit cards up. And nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody wants to do it. And this is why we see the credit card companies going out trying to get people to turn in their credit cards and close their accounts. They know it's going to get worse. They know more defaults are on the way, because nobody in government and corporate America will do the things it needs to do to revive the economy. This is all about rampant greed on display, grabbing that last, squeezing that last dollar, that last penny out of the American working class, out of the American middle class. And they're going to keep on squeezing until they get a violent reaction, which they're preparing for, because the Army just let out a tender for another $6 million worth of riot gear, which means the government is preparing to make you slaves. They've got that ray gun, that pain ray gun, sitting on top of the Hummers. Now they're making handheld versions. It's like, you know, a taser with more of a reach, or a cattle prod. That's how they're going to be treated. They're going to herd us with these pain ray guns. Keep us uppity slaves in our place, is really what it comes down to. They see what's going on in these other countries. Latvia's government just fell. Iceland before that. Looks like the Thai government may not survive more than another couple of weeks. Ireland is in serious trouble. Everyone wants to pretend that these riots don't share a common cause. They're still trying to blame the riots in Greece on the shooting of that 15-year-old boy. That may have been the spark. But the real situation is the global economy is letting the world's people down. It is abusing it's exploiting the world's people in order to support a fabulously wealthy global elite. And people are tired of it. They're tired of watching the work of their entire lives dissolve in front of their eyes like it was made out of compressed rust. And they're angry. And they have a right to be angry. And frankly, if you're not angry, there is something wrong with you. Stop drinking the tap water. Get bottled water. It's better for you. You should be angry. If you are not angry, there's definitely a problem. Meanwhile, turning back to TARP. It turns out the TARP program, remember, these are all being sold to us. Oh, these are just loans. We'll get it all back down the road. We're not seeing that. AIG is already asking for more money and a restructuring. They're not going to be able to pay their loans back. The big three aren't able to pay their loans back. Now it looks like TARP, that investment has already lost 55%, which means somebody else is going to get stuck with the bill. Guess who? We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. I'm going to step away from the economy because, I mean, it's so upsetting. And it's like watching a slow-motion train wreck. You just see the train coming and you know it's going to crash and there's nothing you can do about it except stand there and watch and marvel at the stupidity of the people who set things in motion toward this end. And I know Alex Jones thinks it's a deliberate plan to wreck the country. Me, personally, I think it's just stupidity and greed and total obliviousness to anybody but themselves is what's going on here. Time alone will solve that mystery. Meanwhile, turning to another story that came through the news earlier today, and this was really being blown all over the media, and I'm not trying to trivialize what happened, but the story is about an attack in Baghdad on some U.S. soldiers. One was killed and some others were wounded by a gunman, which they are saying was dressed in a police uniform. They're insisting it wasn't really an Iraqi police officer. They're calling him a terrorist and so forth and so on and blah, blah, blah. And again, not to trivialize the tragedy that has just hit the family of this slain soldier. And the tragedy that has hit these wounded soldiers. But I'm very suspicious of why this is such a news story right now. Because we've had thousands and thousands of American dead that they've gone out of their way to hide and conceal from us. And so I'm wondering why this one story was particularly newsworthy. And I think it may have to do with the fact that there's a great deal of pressure building on Barack Obama to keep his campaign promise and get us out of Iraq. And we've been hearing all this talk lately about, oh, well, it's going to have to be a little longer and a little longer. And they were talking 23 months, basically 2 years, you know, before they could get our kids out of Iraq and bring them back home. And everyone's saying, why? Saddam is dead. There were no weapons of mass destruction. Iraq wasn't helping al-Qaeda. Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. Why are we still there? Land the airplanes, open the door, tell the kids, come on, we're going home, and get them out of there. And a few days ago, we saw this this obvious puff piece where they're saying, well, we're going to start moving trucks and stuff around to test for exit routes. You don't need to test for exit routes. Just take them out the same way you brought them in back in 2003. And it was just this, it was very obviously a stage story to say, look, we're really making preparations to leave. Honest we are. And so there's all this pressure by Americans who want our kids home. While they're still alive, while they're still healthy, get them home. We need them here. And so very timely, all of a sudden, there's an attack on these U.S. soldiers by somebody disguised in a police uniform that they're calling a terrorist. I'm surprised they're not claiming it was an Iranian agent at this point. But I think the fact that they turned this into a big story is an attempt to sell the idea that for some reason, because these kids came under attack today, that we are now required to stay in Iraq for another 2 years. Personally, I think it's a reason to get our kids home that much sooner. The Iraqi people don't want us there. The puppet regime we put in there don't want us there. We don't want to be there. We can't afford to be there. We're a nation hovering on the edge of bankruptcy, and we're still spending 50 cents of every tax dollar on things that kill people. And the real danger is they're starting to turn that stuff back on us. They're talking about all these technologies they developed to watch the terrorists. Now they're talking about bringing them home and putting them in the skies over our homes to make sure that we're staying in our place and we're not going to cause trouble to the American government. They're talking about all these pain rays and all this spying. And what it is the government has run the economy off the cliff, and they're worried that we, the people, are going back and rereading that Declaration of Independence and realizing we're in pretty much the same situation all over again. Our lives are being looted to pay for foreign wars. We are being taxed into poverty, and the government that takes that money isn't really listening to us. And so the U.S. government is preparing to deal with an uprising or insurrection or revolt or whatever you want to call it, such as we are seeing already happen in other countries. And I stress this because, you know, this is your money the government is spending to build walls around you. They're preparing to make you a slave. You must prepare to be free. And I know it's a very, very difficult concept for a lot of people to face up to, because we're all raised to look at our government as in loco parentis. It's our symbolic spiritual mommy and daddy, and they will take care of us as long as we give them half of everything that we ever earn. And like a child that is finally having to confront the fact that that their parents are abusers, you know, we're going through a lot of self-questioning and saying, what did we do to deserve this? And, of course, the answer is, you didn't do a darn thing. Almost said a bad word for those FCC people who are listening. Did he say a bad word? You didn't do a darn thing to deserve what is going on in the United States today. What is going on in the United States today is the product of rampant greed and a class of people who see you as cattle to be harvested, to be drawn upon, to be fed on, to breed soldiers. There's a joke making the rounds in Wall Street today that capitalism can always buy its way out of a mess as long as the working people are made to pay for it. There's another joke going on that the U.S. is always willing to trade blood for gold to get itself out of its financial messes, as it did before. And I have no idea what that sound was, but I assume it's trying to tell me something. Ah, I know what that is. I forgot to turn the sound thing on the chat page off. Anyway, so, you know, this story about the Iraq soldiers, and again, I don't want to trivialize the fact that another one of our young people in uniform has been killed. But the way the mainstream media tried to make this a big story, it is obviously part of a propaganda campaign to resell us and convince us that it is necessary to keep our kids in Iraq, that it is necessary to keep our kids in Afghanistan, building up toward a case of going into Iran. Which brings me to one final story that came through today. Over the last week, there was a big brouhaha made over the fact that the International Atomic Energy Agency, the investigation group for the United Nations, charged with enforcing the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, had said that Iran actually had more enriched uranium than had originally been indicated in their reports. And everybody said, aha, they're lying and they're concealing and they're doing things outside of review, and we've got to deal with this crisis, and we've got to move forward, and we've got to go kill all those people over there. Well, the IAEA came out today and basically said this is a bookkeeping error, because the original Iranian reports were estimates of how much they expected to get out of their cascades before the cascades had been tested. Now they're running and they're realizing they're getting a little bit more than they expected, and that is the cause of the discrepancy. And again, one more time, the uranium that Iran is enriching is being enriched to the levels required for a nuclear power station. None of it has been enriched to the levels required for an atomic weapon. Under the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, not only is the United States required to allow Iran to have a nuclear power plant, we're actually obligated to help them build it. You want to make sure they're not building bombs? Let's go over there and help them finish their power station. We're supposed to, under Article 4 of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. It's a great way to keep an eye and make sure nobody's building weapons underneath their reactors. What a shame Israel never signed that treaty. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors. 800-259-9231.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Well, search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking about all kinds of things, and we're talking about the economy. And a real quick story. We've got a caller waiting on the line. I'm going to get to you in just a minute here, James. But before that, I wanted to get this story out of the way. Earlier today on a website, there was a story that went by the headline, Why Doesn't Rahm Emanuel Pay Property Taxes? The story was yanked almost immediately, but the substance of it, and we're trying to find confirmation of this right now, is that apparently Rahm Emanuel does not pay property taxes on his home, and it's one of the areas with the highest tax burden. And apparently this has been accomplished because he and his wife have created this nonprofit foundation, and they've declared their home to be the offices of their nonprofit foundation, which means the home is now exempt from property taxes. So those of you out there who are struggling to pay your property taxes, do what the White House Chief of Staff does and create a nonprofit organization. Doesn't matter how much money is going through there or not. Declare your home to be your offices, and you too will be exempt from property taxes. Probably not. But it's just another indicator that taxes are something that only the working and middle class people are supposed to deal with. And all of those upper elites, there are ways to evade and little sneaky little tricks that are wired into the tax code that they can take advantage of. And it is amazing. The President of the United States seems unable to find anybody to work in his government that is actually paying their fair share of taxes. And I find that absolutely amazing. Actually, quite educational. We're going to go to the phones. We've got James in Kentucky. Aloha, James. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind today?
Aloha.
Aloha.
I'd just like to bring up our dollar's about to fall off the face of the map. You know, just it's worthless already anyway. So, and I know the they're getting attacked, the Amero, mm-hmm. about the bringing Canada and Mexico together. And also, I went to Google Earth for the first time a while ago, and I looked up this area, and it's called Camp Grayling of in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And they noted it as a concentration camp.
Camp Grayling?
Camp Grayling in Michigan.
Oh, well, I'll have to take a look at that and put that up there. There's a wonderful little tool besides Google Earth. It's called FlashEarth.com. It's a completely web-based system, so anybody can use it who's got a browser, even if they don't have Google Earth, and it allows you to save links that point to certain things. So after the show, I'll try and hunt this down and put that up there. We do know there are concentration camps already built inside the United States. There's something the government seems to keep just in case. And again, we know we're coming up on a period of civil unrest because the economic policy that is being followed by the government is to extract more and more money from the average working guy to pay off all of these gambling debts called the derivatives on Wall Street. And, you know, we've seen it going back the last 6 months. Everything is taking out a loan on the backs of the people to give the money to these Wall Street and politicians who are so rich they don't even remember how many homes they have. That is exactly the wrong way to be going. You need to rebuild the economy from the foundation up. You can't pick it up by the roof, which is what Obama is trying to do right now. And I really do think they're just looting the people, and as long as they can get away with it, they're going to go on doing it until either there's a revolution or the whole system falls apart, whichever happens first.
Hey, brother, before I go, I'd like to mention something else. I just listened to a program a while ago. How did we get this far, you know? Because the government is using us as sheep. We're the sheep, and we're buying up. We bought it.
We the sheeple. The sheeple.
Yeah, sheeple.
You're absolutely right. Well, you know, thanks an awful lot for the call then, James, and you're absolutely right about the attitude of the government towards the people does seem to be we're a necessary nuisance because we provide the taxes and breed the soldiers, but... You know, after that, they really don't care what's going on with us. I mean, last September, even before the election, when 90% of America said, we do not want to see these bailouts happen, and they went into Congress and ramrodded it through, and they reamed us. They did. They took $1 trillion from the American people to give it to the banks to loan it back to us. That's what the bailouts are all about. It is absolutely the wrong way to be doing it. It is not going to work in the long term. We are seeing an absolute fascist economy here in that profits are kept private and losses are always going to be socialized. And now that we're in there, it's going to keep on going. And as long as there is a dollar out there left in mainstream America to be sucked up by this giant vacuum cleaner, they're going to keep on scrubbing around for it. And they won't stop until we're absolutely broke or until we say no. And I want to get onto that topic a little bit because I mentioned it on the website earlier today. We all talk about being a free people. We're so free that according to George Bush, the terrorists around the world hate us for our freedoms. They don't hate us because we're dropping white phosphorus all over their kids. They don't hate us because we're invading their country. And they don't hate us because we're exploiting their people through corporate and, clandestine covert deals with their leaders, many of whom we've installed. They don't hate us for that. They hate us because we're free. Well, I got to tell you right now, the first and foremost freedom that you need to remember that you have is the freedom to say no. There is no freedom without the freedom to say no. No to higher taxes that are going into rich people's pockets. No to being lied into more wars. No to involuntary servitude. We have an amendment in the Constitution. The 13th Amendment says the government cannot force you to work against your will unless you've been convicted of a crime of some sort. It's unconstitutional for the government to say, you have to go fill in the holes on that road. You have a right to say no. You have a right to say no to your jobs being taken away from you and given to countries across, across the ocean in other countries, the outsourcing. You have a right to say no to all these things, and you need to learn how to say no. It is time for America to learn how to say no. Because our government is leading us in a very, very bad direction. We're broke, bankrupt, we're staggering at the edge of the cliff. And the only thing our government can think of doing to try and get themselves off the hook for all these bad choices is to start a new war in Iran. They're still pushing it. This thing with the IAEA, man, it was just terrible. We're going to go back to the phones. Paula in Texas, aloha, Paula. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Thank you. I was just going to comment. There are many things in our budget that I think need to be cut back. NASA, for instance, that there's a $173 million satellite that crashed. It didn't take into outer space. It landed near Antarctica today.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the budget needs to be cut there. Since Americans are losing jobs in other ways, I think the budget for NASA is a real obvious one that needs to be cut. Because
I would disagree with you.
Okay.
And the reason I will is because, first of all, unlike most major corporations, NASA's budget is spent pretty much entirely inside the United States. But more than that, research and development for space exploration. I'm sorry they lost the satellite. Actually, no, I'm not. It was the Al Gore special. I'm glad it's gone. But the R&D for the space research creates technological spin-off, which creates new products on which we can base new jobs and new industries. And a good example I like to look at is back during the 1960s when the Apollo moon program, it was NASA that developed all these integrated circuit technologies, these small microprocessors, all of this stuff that we're looking at and launched companies like Apple and Commodore and Texas Instruments that became, incredibly rich companies selling these products based on the new technology. So while I agree there are a lot of things that need to be cut, NASA's budget isn't one of them. I will agree NASA needs an overhaul of their management because, I was there with the old NASA when things worked, and then when the new NASA came in, it was a total Charlie Foxtrot, if you know what I mean by that. Paula, we got to take a break here, so thank you very much for the phone call. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Here we live, my friends, in a simpleton society. Propaganda pours through the corporate mainstream news. And the stations try to pass it off as normality. We fail to see the forces that control our present views.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. I'm already getting emails from people about my comment regarding the CO2 Hunter satellite that crashed last night. And I didn't mean to be glib about it, but the reality is we've seen this global warming agenda being pushed so hard. And this satellite was basically lobbied into existence. Remember when Al Gore was vice president, he wanted a satellite that would just hang out there in space and anybody could log into it and look down on the Earth anytime they wanted to, which made a lot of people very nervous who have things to hide. And if you use Google Earth or Flash Earth, those images of the ground are very often 2 to 3 years out of date to make sure you're not seeing things that somebody somewhere does not want you to see. So keep that in mind. But the CO2 Hunter was basically, it was going to go up there. It was going to image carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Well, yeah, there's carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. And the reality is it's a natural part of the atmosphere. And if all the CO2 in the air went away, all the plants would die. So this satellite was going to produce images that were going to be used to propagandize that, ooh, see, you've got carbon dioxide in these places, so they've got to pay a carbon dioxide tax so we can clean up the atmosphere. And it really, I thought it was very counterproductive. It was very obviously politics. Right now our government is just desperate for any means that they can find traction with that will convince you to surrender more of your money and more of the control over your lives to their machinations. And global warming is the latest in a long series of manufactured crises in which the government takes things that happen naturally, blames them on people, and then says you must atone by paying taxes. So in a way, I'm kind of glad this thing crashed. I think it's quite metaphoric for the recent decline in the support for the global warming agenda as well. Now, that being said, I don't like to see rockets fall out of the sky, but it is a reality of life that, yes, they do. Space is still a very perilous business. It is, bad things happen up there. We had the satellite collision just a few weeks ago. There are sporadic reports of debris coming back down to Earth from that. And that's just part of being a spacefaring species, as it were. Now, as far as NASA itself is concerned, I question a lot of NASA's management. I question very much a lot of the choices they've made over the years. For those of you who are looking at the space shuttle and all of the problems that it is having, a good part of that is that a lot of upgrades and maintenance for the shuttle has been cut out of the budget over the years. And the original space shuttle design was far more robust, but then the military came along and said, well, it's got to carry this much more weight and this much more room, and you guys have got to redesign it because we've got ambitions to use it for those top secret satellites you're not supposed to talk about. So the shuttle was made bigger and able to carry more weight, and in the process, a lot of the redundancy and the safety systems that normally characterized American spacecraft up to that point had to be left off. I mean, look what happened with Columbia. The budget was cut so tight, specifically safety systems. They didn't have an extravehicular suit on board. They couldn't go out and take a look at the shuttle. They didn't even have the arm on board. That's how tight they were on the budgets on that thing. There is no royal road to space. You've got to spend money to be able to do it properly and do it safely in order to get the maximum return on your investment. When you start planning spaceflight using a PERT chart, that's where you get into trouble. That's what happened to Challenger. The engineers who built the thing said, do not launch with frozen O-rings. The new NASA management, who were MBAs and political hacks, and not engineers, they said, oh, well, we've got a schedule to keep, and we've got the press watching us, and these concerns override, those engineers who just think they know how to run space just because they built the thing. And, of course, Challenger went up, and it exploded, and I lost a personal friend on that mission. And then we fast forward to Columbia, where during the launch, they knew debris had hit the leading edge of the wing. And the new NASA management said, well, it probably doesn't mean anything. And we don't have the means to check it, so, hey, we'll just cross our fingers and hope for the best when it comes down. And we all know what happened with that. So I would agree with the caller, Paula from Texas. NASA does need a change in management because it needs to stop being, you know, pretensions of an airline and go back to being an R&D operation. Because there is no question that a lot of the prosperities of the 1970s and 1980s are directly attributable to the new technologies developed by NASA in the effort to go to the moon, whether it's microprocessors, new material science. And we need that kind of new technology and new industries and new products to revive our economy. So if anything, if I were the emperor, I would actually be increasing NASA's budget at this point, specifically for the R&D and new technology development aspects of the space program, because it is from that that we will get new products that only America will make that will reverse our balance of trade. Okay, enough about the NASA situation. Turning to the world of medicine, there is a drug out there called Cymbalta. And it's being touted as a cure-all for a lot of different diseases, even away from what it was designed to do. And the problem is that we're starting to get reports of these mysterious suicides connected with the use of the drug, where people that they've managed to prevent from killing themselves will just say, I don't know why I did it. You know, I don't have any problems in my life. I'm feeling fine. I've got a good marriage and a good job. It's just all of a sudden I just got this feeling about dying. And we know that the American pharmacological industry is notoriously reluctant to talk about problems with their medication. Not too long ago, we had that Bayer scandal, the blood products scandal, where a product that was known to be contaminated with HIV virus was blocked for sale in the U.S. They dumped it in other countries. A lot of people died. We're still hearing about the after effects of the Arkansas blood, the tainted blood, the Health Management Associates that sold all the stuff to Canada and killed a lot of people. And, you know, so these things are not always in the public view. The pharmacy industry will cover them up. They'll sell these products even when they know there's a problem. And so it's really up to all of us. We've got to share information. Whatever you're being prescribed, go out on the web, do a search of the literature, find out what's going on, because a lot of times, I'll give you a good example. Back when my wife was dealing with the formaldehyde problem, and she'd had this incredible joint pain, and the doctors couldn't figure out what was going on, we finally figured it out for ourselves. Before we did that, though, and she was in this pain, they had her on this medication called Ultram, which she hated. It was just a terrible, terrible medication. And so one day the doctor says, well, if you don't like it, just quit it. And she says, okay, and she stopped taking it. And she started getting very, very sick and shaky. And I went out on the web, and what we found out was that you can't just stop taking it. You have to very gradually decline, or you can go into convulsions and die. And the doctor never mentioned that to us. So you really got to be more responsible for what you're putting in your body. And this Cymbalta one, we've got a very close friend, and I got to talk to her because she's on it. And, you know, we're worried about her already. Now, one little quick story, since we were talking about Google Earth. As I've mentioned many times before, I'm a big fan of Tom Clancy. And one of the books he wrote was called Cardinal of the Kremlin. It talked about this very exotic Soviet research site near Dushanbe in Tajikistan. And in the book, he's got this very blurry photo of a mountaintop, and then he's got a drawing showing there's these six domes that are supposed to be this laser projector and these four domes that are supposed to be a satellite tracking camera. And just on a whim, I went and looked this facility up in Google Earth, and it is exactly as Tom Clancy described it in the book. Now, I don't think it's a laser weapon. I think it's basically a satellite photography system. But it basically lets us know that Tom Clancy's had some inside information over the years. And I just thought that was so interesting. But Google Earth has caught up with him. Anyway, that's it for our show today. We're going to be back tomorrow for Hump Day, middle of the week. More stories. We've got lots and lots of stuff to talk about. Turns out CSI has been lying to you about the accuracy of forensic science. We're going to be talking about that tomorrow. Until then, stay safe, be well, drive carefully. Aloha, America.